the Holy Spirit? Will there be animals in heaven? How can parents raise Christian children in a hostile culture? This month, find faithful, Bible-based answers to tough theological questions when you subscribe to the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod's flagship magazine, The Lutheran Witness. Visit cph.org/trylutheranwitness to get 6 issues for only $6.99. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran perspective.
The Bible gives President Trump the moral authority to use whatever force necessary, including assassination or even war, to take out an evildoer like Kim Jong-un.
The Democratic Party has been led astray by the abortion rights movement that thinks that this abortion messaging is a winning strategy. It simply isn't a winning strategy outside California and New York.
The Reformation is the crystallization in God's providence of the gospel and of the authority of God's word. And it is a reminder to us that it's exactly what we need today.
This is Flo from Idaho. Locked and loaded Lutheran ladies love listening to the straight shooters at Issues, Etc.
We started a conversation yesterday with Katie Schuerman talking about the vocation of a pastor's wife. And it's in some ways, a sensitive position, and it's in a lot of ways a very ordinary position of being just another parishioner, but not just any other parishioner when you're married to the pastor. We're going to continue that conversation with her, talking about pastors' wives on social media, congregational friendships, and the blessings of being a pastor's wife and being in that vocation. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. live on this Friday afternoon, August the 18th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Part two of our conversation on the vocation of pastor's wife with Katie Schuerman will lead off. Then Terry Mattingly is going to join us. We're going to talk about media coverage after the Charlottesville protests and the violence there. There's good coverage, and then there's some really terrible coverage. Everything always comes back around to President Trump somehow with the media nowadays. Pastor Chris Roseborough will be our guest in Hour 2 of Issues, Etc. Our series with him this week in Pop American Christianity, we're going to talk about what he calls doctrinal off-roading. I can only imagine what that means. And then we're going to play Issues, Etc. soundbite of the week. We have 4 soundbites to play for you. After we've played them in their entirety in the last half hour of the program, you can give us a call, 1-877-623-6943. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org. Send us a tweet with your vote for Issues, Etc. soundbite of the week at Issues ETC, or you can vote at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc, facebook.com/issuesetc. Joining us for part two of a conversation on the vocation of pastor's wife, Katie Schuerman. She's a pastor's wife, church musician, and speaker. She's author of the Issues, Etc., book of the month for August, The Harvest Rays. Katie, welcome back.
It's great to be here.
Let's talk a little bit about the challenges that face a pastor's wife. The first one is, I think, probably only become a problem in the last decade, and that is social media. And I'm thinking here particular about, there are, I imagine, in every denomination, social media groups for pastors' wives where they kind of compare notes, do things like this. But it also can turn into a very toxic place where pastors' wives kind of, especially if it's a closed or private group on social media, email list, whatever it is, it becomes kind of a place to complain, often about how their husband is treated or about how they are treated. And that becomes a real serious problem. I want you to talk a little bit about that.
Sure. Boy, we humans, don't we just mess everything up? Even taking something like a closed Facebook group that should be a source of support, that should be a source of encouragement, you're right, they become toxic. We in our sin can't help but turn on one another sometimes in those groups, or even honestly use them as gossip chambers where we can talk about people who aren't a part of those groups, whether they be our husbands or other pastors' wives or other people in the church. And I think maybe what the social medias have shown us is just like a magnifying glass of our sinful nature. Personally, and I do not mean to be setting myself up as somebody who's doing well at this, But knowing my own sin, knowing my own tendency to want to gossip, knowing my own tendency to want to justify my own sinful behaviors, one way I guard against that as a pastor's wife is I don't participate in those closed groups. And one way I have managed that is I do not use an active private Facebook account. It protects me from that temptation of wanting to vent through venues that I shouldn't. Now, maybe I have a special situation being an author. I have a public page. And on that public page, again, it's that window in my house that has no blinds or curtains. My public Facebook page keeps me accountable. Everything I do on it, people will see. And that just reminds me how I am to use that social media and how I am not to use it. And like in anything, we're to use those things to serve our neighbor. And I know that it does not serve my neighbor, nor does it serve myself. And by serving myself, I mean it does not help me escape temptation to be a part of those groups. So I would actually encourage all Christians, not just pastors' wives, but maybe just to really reconsider whether or not those are healthy things to be participating in. And, you know, you could just reflect on yourself a little bit and ask, you know, am I able to keep from gossiping if I am being a part of those groups? Or are there some neighbors on there that have trouble keeping from gossiping and would actually help them if I'm not available to listen? So I think actually it can be very dangerous for pastors and or their wives to participate in those groups. And I'm not saying that there are not ones that might actually be used for completely constructive reasons. But I'm probably a little jaded also just because of my public life as an author. I'm not sure that I can enter any private group without hearing myself being talked about anyway. So in some ways, I've been spared that temptation because I can't be in one for very long before I witness, you know, my own name being talked about. And so I suppose in some ways, that's another blessing as a pastor's wife is to just have that experience to safeguard my heart and my mind and my home from my own sinful tendencies, but also from the poisonous words of others.
The other question I had in that respect, the challenges, has to do with kind of old-fashioned socializing. My experience in the parish has been, now it's kind of unusual because I'm very, very part-time, but when I was a full-time parish pastor, my wife and I, being much younger at the time, there were a lot of people our age, with kids our age, in that congregation, but we found ourselves for some reason saying nothing negative about the people our own age, gravitating toward people our parents' age for social interaction, going out to dinner, doing things like that that pastors often do with their parishioners. And for both of us, it was just kind of more comfortable to do that because there was something about making friends where there is a line for the pastor, and I believe also for his wife, when it comes to friendships in the congregation. Not that it can't be done, but that there has to be some kind of caution there. Have you experienced that?
I have. And actually, I'm thankful that you mentioned that, Pastor, because I'm learning from you as you're saying that. It's a reminder to me again to be careful in that area. When I go into any friendship, whether it's one in the congregation or not, I actually try to treat them the same way. And that's that I try not to have the expectation of these people to be perfect. And I try not to have the expectation that I'm going to save their life. And so entering into that friendship, I know my vocation is actually to serve them in mercy and in love. And if they happen to serve me at the same time, wow, that's a really happy moment. But I know that's not necessarily guaranteed. And so as a pastor's wife, as a pastor's family, something that my husband and I try to keep in mind is that his vow to the congregation was not necessarily one of friendship, but one of kind of, can I call it parenthood? Is that an okay thing to say? He's kind of a father of sorts to these people, even to people that he's younger than. You know, he's looking out for their faith. He's looking out for their health of body, mind, and spirit. And so that's not really a friendship vocation. It's one of guardian. It's one of shepherd. So I'm very much tempered by his relationship with his congregation. So even though I when we're socializing with members of our congregation, because that is his role and because I see him caring for them in those ways, it tempers me. It reminds me that that's right. I get to love these people, but it's not necessarily this American idea of what friendship is, that we're going to be BFFs forever and we're going to share all of our secrets, because we're not able to do that. My husband has many secrets he can't share, even with me. And so that's just not our relationship with people. Ours is more one of sharing life with them, living life alongside of them, and helping bear their burdens and sharing in their joys and listening to them as they're living through particularly difficult seasons of suffering. And so the way I've approached it, and this has helped me, I look at it when I enter into any social interaction with anybody in our church, is that they're my family. They're not so much my friends. They're my family. We're governed in the Christian, you know, in the body of Christ, by kind of family ties. That's how our Lord speaks of it. And so I know exactly how to love them. I know exactly how to exhort them. I know exactly how to encourage them. And that's just as I would somebody who is in my family. And so I just don't really go into it thinking how close a friend will be, because we're bonded by blood. We're bonded by the blood of Christ. It doesn't even matter if I like them or not. Doesn't matter if they like me. We get to be together. We get to share with each other. And sometimes I probably have more in common with some people in our congregation than I do with others. But I've learned from year to year, the people that I have something in common with, most likely we're going to change and grow within a year, and we won't have as much in common the next year. And I find that all these different people in our congregation, I relate to in different ways and in different seasons of my life. And that all of us are living our life together. It's not really necessarily about finding a clique. It's about watching people and seeing where they're at in their life and asking, how can I serve them? How can I take care of them? And being served by them in return. And so I haven't really had too much of an issue yet with being too friendly with some and too friendly with others. Although I'm sure from the outside, people may have a different opinion of that, but I know I'm not to govern my actions based off of that. But I know that these are my family members in Christ, and so I treat them as such.
Finally then, why did you decide in your capacity as, in addition to wife and pastor's wife, to write about life as a pastor's wife, obviously fictionalized, in your latest of the Anthems of Zion series, The Harvest Raids?
Be perfectly honest with you, Pastor Wilkin, I didn't want to. I kind of had to, because that's where my story led. But then I try very hard when writing fiction, which, you know, you're making a story up, I try very hard to have a certain amount of objectivity about my story. And I didn't want to write about a pastor's wife because I'm a little too close to the subject matter. And I know myself. Those awful self sins, my self-pity and my self-righteousness, I'm so afraid of those things bleeding into my story, especially if the character is in a situation too much like my own. And so I didn't actually really want to write about that, but I was in a position where I needed to. And then the question became, well, what is a helpful story to tell in this regard? What about a pastor's wife would be, what kind of story would serve the church? And I pondered that for a long time, and I thought, you know, again, pastor's wife is a minority in the church. There aren't, you know, the majority of people in the congregation are not a pastor's wife. So it doesn't really do the church any good for me to bemoan, you know, the challenges of the pastor's wife, or to celebrate too highly her, you know, her blessings. And there are many blessings in being a pastor's wife. But I did decide, you know, it might be helpful to the church at large to see a little bit, to peek into the parsonage a little bit, to see just how human their pastor is, to see just how human their pastor's wife is, and to see what sinners they are. But they're redeemed sinners who live in repentance and faith, and hopefully are bearing that fruit of repentance and faith. And so I did finally settle into a story about a pastor's wife because I thought, you know what, I think this can be of value, because I can show maybe some ways that the pastor's wife could better serve her church, and show some ways that the church maybe could better serve their pastor's wife. And so I thought it might be a mutually beneficial story. And Pastor Wilkin, if I may, you know, I was listing some of the challenges of being a pastor's wife. May I list some of the blessings?
Absolutely.
When you are the wife of the pastor, you get to witness the Lord providing in all things for an entire community of people. It is a beautiful thing to behold. And when you're a pastor's wife, you get a front row seat to the work of the gospel. While I don't always know the private things that are going on in the lives of our people. In fact, sometimes I'm the last one to know because people probably assume I know so they don't tell me. But because I'm married to the pastor, I sure am not getting the information from him. But still, I get to a front row seat to the ways that our Lord provides for his people. Because I'm married to the pastor, I get to go to church a lot. Some people complain about Holy Week, that there's church every night and it's too much. I love it because I get to be with my family every night, including my husband. It is a precious gift to have your days ordered by the liturgical church here. My husband's library is extensive, and he lets me read all of his books. I love it. I'm so blessed. We have the best books in the world, and my husband lets me read them. And I have access to my pastor 24/7. I can ask him questions anytime I want, and I do not take it for granted that my husband is the one who has studied the Word and been called by the church to serve as a servant of the Word. And I'm one of those people that he serves. And honestly, I probably steal too much of his time and intellect. But in my own joys and in my own suffering, how blessed am I that my pastor is there almost all the time to help me through it. And again, even in those challenges, even in those struggles, how blessed am I to be humbled and disciplined by the Lord in such a way through these trials of the church, to have that mirror put up to my face every day to show me just how tempted I am to trust in something other than the Word of God. You know, I want to trust in my own personality. I want to trust in my own charm. I want to trust in, you know, my own friendliness. That will win people for Christ. And that's not true. God's Word is what works miracles in people's hearts. And through the church's successes and failures, I am disciplined. Through my own successes and failures, I am disciplined and reminded yet again that I am to put my trust in the Word of God. Christ is the one who builds this church, and he is the one who tears it down. And even I, a humble pastor's wife who maybe thinks that I am more than I am, I just get to witness it, and I get to pray for all of these people and to be loved by them. It's a blessed life, Pastor Wilkin.
Katie Schuerman is a pastor's wife, church musician, and speaker. She's authored The Issues, Etc., Book of the Month for August. You heard her talk about it. The Harvest Raised, the latest in the Anthems of Zion series. Katie, thank you very much for being our guest.
Thank you, Pastor Wilkin.
If you're already a fan of the Anthems of Zion series, this is the latest and the last in that series. You'll want to pick it up. The Harvest Raised. If you haven't read these books yet, pick up the first and second, and then the third, The Harvest Raised, from Concordia Publishing House. It's available in both hard copy and digital formats. Find links at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand or call Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. Ask them about the Anthems of Zion series and the latest in that series, The Harvest Raised by Katie Schuerman. 1-800-325-3040. When we come back, we're going to talk about media coverage after the Charlottesville protests and violence. Terry Mattingly will be our guest.
People are talking about the Lutheran Federal Credit Union. Lutheran FCU was created solely to serve LCMS workers, families, and entities, and proceeds benefit LCMS organizations. Lutheran FCU offers deposit accounts and loans and has service access at thousands of branches and ATMs nationwide. Lutheran FCU also offers members Christian-based lending advice for new loans and refinancing, minimal account fees, and superior personalized service. Check them out at LutheranFCU.org.
¿Por qué hay cuatro evangelios? ¿Qué pasa con los bebés que mueren antes de nacer? ¿Qué significa temer a Dios? Respuestas bíblicas a preguntas difíciles se encuentran en la edición de agosto de The Lutheran Witness, una revista de la Iglesia Luterana, Sínodo de Missouri. Visite a cph.org/trylutheranwitness para una oferta especial. 6 ediciones para $6.99. The Lutheran Witness, interpretando a un mundo contemporáneo desde una perspectiva cristiana.
The radio voice of the Lutheran faith for the 21st century. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Confessional, liturgical, sacramental. Lutheran Church of the Redeemer is located in Columbus, Georgia, right next to Fort Benning, Georgia, off of Exit 7 on I-185. Come receive our Lord Jesus' gifts of forgiveness and grace every Sunday in the Divine Service. For more information, visit our website, RedeemerColumbusGA.org.
If you're like me, you remember when education was about the basic skills of reading, writing, and arithmetic, and about reading great literature and history that gave our kids models of what it is to be a good person. Memoria Press's classical Christian curriculum is bringing this kind of education back. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.